Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday, August 23rd, 2015 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. We give our allegiance to the state because we have no other allegiance and we are communal beings and must plant our solidarity somewhere. The state ensures we can have no other allegiance, and the global state statesmen brook no challenges. These are not folks to whom we can entrust our earth, especially the earth in us, the ownership of which, once transferred to else but self, is lost. Sisters and brothers, what we discover when we set our feet on that path to the truth is that it's very well trodden. Many others have sought that fruit. And the insights we found, they've been long pondered too. To reclaim our human energy, these insights are key. It is on the ground of ethics, and ethics only, that we can achieve our freedom successfully. And secondly, that we must step forward with confidence, with certainty, with an assurance of step of feet finding deep prints from our ancestors left for our feet to find them. And here is an amazing example of this. Quote from Peter Kropotkin: I went first to Neuchâtel and then spent a week or so among the watchmakers in the Jura Mountains. I thus made my first acquaintance with that famous Jura Federation, which for the next few years played an important part in the development of socialism, introducing into it the no-government or anarchist tendency. In 1872, the Jura Federation was becoming a rebel against the authority of the General Council of the International Working Men's Association. The association was essentially a working men's movement, the workers understanding it as such and not as a political party. In East Belgium, for instance, they had introduced into the statutes a clause in virtue of which no one could be a member of a section unless employed in a manual trade. Even foremen were excluded. The workers were, moreover, federalist in principle. Each nation, each separate region, and even each local section had to be left free to develop on its own lines. But the middle class revolutionists of the old school who had entered the international, imbued as they were with the notions of the centralized, pyramidal, secret organizations of earlier times, had introduced those same notions into the Working Men's Association. Besides the federal and national councils, a general council was nominated at London to act as a sort of intermediary between the councils of the different nations. Marx and Engels were its leading spirits. It soon appeared, however, that the mere fact of having such a central body became a source of substantial inconvenience. The General Council was not satisfied with playing the part of a correspondence bureau. It strove to govern the movement, to approve or to censure the action of the local federations and sections, and even of individual members. When the Commune insurrection began in Paris, and the leaders had only to follow, without being able to say where to they would be led within the next 24 hours, the General Council insisted upon directing the insurrection from London. It required daily reports about the events, gave orders, favored this and hampered that, and thus put in evidence the disadvantage of having a governing body, even within the association. The disadvantage became still more evident when, at a secret conference held in 1871, the General Council, supported by a few delegates, decided to direct the forces of the association toward electoral agitation. It set people thinking about the evils of any government, however democratic its origin. This was the first spark of anarchism. The Jura Federation became the center of opposition to the General Council. The separation between leaders and workers, which I had noticed at Geneva in the Temple Unique, did not exist in the Jura Mountains. There were a number of men who were more intelligent and especially more active than the others, but that was all. And my comment, what Peter observed is what I've observed too, that leadership is fluid, a result of many factors that change over the course of a lifetime as we gain experience, as we absorb new information. Never is it fixed or given. Continuing, from Neuchâtel, I went to Souvillers. In a little valley in the Jura Hills, there is a succession of small towns and villages, of which the French-speaking population was at that time entirely employed in the various branches of watchmaking. Whole families used to work in small workshops. And another comment, please let us not be duped by these power guys' attempts to make our decentralization for us. Let's reject their offer to design it and assign it with ironic tags like sharing economy appended. Continuing, the very organization of the watch trade, which permits men to know one another thoroughly and to work in their own houses where they are free to talk, explains why the level of intellectual development in this population is higher than that of workers who spend all their life from early childhood on in the factories. There is more independence and more originality among the petty trades workers. But the absence of a division between the leaders and the masses in the Jura Federation was also the reason why there was not a question upon which every member of the Federation would not strive to form his own independent opinion. Here I saw that the workers were not a mass that was being led and made subservient to the political ends of a few men. Their leaders were simply their more active comrades. Initiators rather than leaders. I really like that distinction. Initiators rather than leaders. The clearness of insight, the soundness of judgment, the capacity for disentangling complex social questions, which I noticed among these workers, especially the middle-aged ones, deeply impressed me. And I am firmly persuaded that if the Jura Federation has played a prominent part in the development of socialism, it is not only on account of the importance of the no-government and federalist ideas of which it was the champion, but also on account of the expression which was given to those ideas by the good sense of the Jura watchmakers. Without their aid, these conceptions might have remained mere abstractions for a long time. And I have to say, without you, Peter Kropotkin, to take note of them and share them with us, we who in this moment so need them, where would we be? Where would we be? Not just without Peter Kropotkin, but without Alice Miller and Miklos Nesli and Nikola Tesla and Karl Popper. Where would we be without our ancestors to leave their deep prints for us to find them?